We turn to the first chapter of Isaiah. He begins, verse 5. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. And Isaiah the prophet is prophesying coming judgment upon the house of Israel. Although he lived during the reign of some fairly good kings like Hezekiah and Uzziah, by and large, the land of Judah was ripe for judgment. And here in those first two verses, we have a picture of Judah as being a sick patient. Why should you be stricken again? Here is a man who has been ill and is ill again. He is revolting more and more. And here, physical illness is a picture of Israel's rebellion. And as Israel is, or Judah is ripe for judgment, so the patient described from verse 5, is in need of serious and radical medical attention. We're told that the head is sick. The head is where we think. It is where we have our ideas. It is where we calculate. And Israel's head is sick. The heart is fainting. That organ of the body which is responsible for pumping around the blood and ensuring oxygen goes from top to bottom, that is fainting. It is not working properly. There is something drastically wrong at the heart of Israel. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in the patient from top to bottom, from bottom to top, from the king and the nobility, the priesthood, down to the agricultural workers, the widows and the orphans. There is an illness affecting the whole of the land and nation of Judah. There are wounds and bruises and open sores which are putrefying. This really is rather graphic language. It is not pleasant to behold. It is not a very nice picture. But then, a sinful nation is not a very nice picture either. And these wounds have not been closed or bound up. They have not been soothed with ointment. Judah is pained by the condition in which she finds herself. Now, Isaiah, a true prophet of the true God, is telling Judah that she is drastically ill. But the good news is that Isaiah also beholds the coming of the Messiah. Now, that might be a few chapters away. At the moment, we're still diagnosing the patient. From verse 7 to 8, we have another picture of Judah. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Here the imagery moves away from a sick and dying patient to a sick and dying land, a land which has been attacked. And Isaiah beholds the coming of foreign armies, notably Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who would lay siege to Jerusalem and sack Judah. And here the imagery bespeaks of the coming judgment, as well as the spiritual state which warrants that coming judgment. You know, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land provided by God for a people born of Abraham but called to salvation, is now desolate, burned with fire. Strangers and foreigners have taken the corn, they've taken the crops, they've taken the barley. Everything is overthrown and desolate. And what is Zion left? Well, she's like a booth in a vineyard. A booth is a tent, a temporary shelter. This great nation, great city, is reduced to a shack in a vineyard. The next image is a hut in a garden of cucumbers. I rather like the sound of that picture, but I don't think that was Isaiah's intention. A hut in a garden of cucumbers might be a pleasant place to repair to during the heat of the day or when one is having a break from harvesting said cucumbers, but one would not want to live there. But that is what Israel has become. That is what Judah is likened to. She is a besieged city. And yet there is hope in verse 9. The Lord Almighty has left us a very small remnant. If that were not so, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Israel may have behaved like Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Lord Almighty has preserved for himself a remnant of faithful people. Even amidst the wickedness and the evil, there is a faithful remnant. And the scripture teaches that though the earth continues to be dark and wicked, he has reserved for himself a people. Think of Isaiah at the time of Ahab, Elijah at the time of Ahab and Jezebel. I have reserved for myself a people, God told Elijah when he was at his lowest point. Before the Reformation, when gospel truth was hardly known, there were people who were born again, who believed in the gospel of grace, even though no church in this land would have believed it. In our own time, in our own country, godlessness really is a pervading force. And if you want a modern picture of a sick nation or a devoured nation, behold the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Yet even in our land, even in our time, God has reserved for himself a people. There is a faithful church. There is a people who look to Christ. And we may belong to a very small church. We are an insignificant church. Few attend our meetings, but we are not alone. And no matter how dark it gets in the world, gospel light will continue to shine right until the time when Christ returns and calls us home. So Isaiah was living at a time in Judah when things were bleak, just as we are living at a time in Great Britain when things are bleak. There is a spiritual death, dying and pain. There is devastation. There is decline. And yet the Lord Almighty has left a remnant. Be encouraged. You're not alone. Amen.